turn your Bibles to Psalms 85. And I'll read to you just a little bit, and we'll give you a little bit of last Saturday night. How's that? It says, "Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation."
Glory.
I want you to look at this very familiar verse. Verse 6, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Praise God. I guess that's a good place to start on a first night of a fellowship meeting, isn't it? "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Praise God. That's a wonderful word for Pentecostal people, revival. I work with men that have other denominations and of other persuasions that say that revivals are no longer effective. And really, I almost feel sorry for them. But you know, revival is really the great need of our age. It's the great need of my church, our church at Dryden Road. And I'm sure it's the great need here at the highway, revival. It was the psalmist David, as he penned this, he had to look back over better days, happier days, days with more joy, days with more peace, days with more of the love of God in his life. And he looked over the situation and he said, "Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice?" Isn't it something that the psalmist understood the great need in his life was revival? The great need in this man of God's life was revival. Praise God. I'm telling you, church, the need of our age is revival. Glory to God. We need revival. I was looking at this, and I ran across the scripture in the book of Matthew where Jesus makes a comment about a great man. Jesus says in verse 11 of chapter 11 of St. Matthew's Gospel, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." That's quite a compliment coming from the lips of our Savior, isn't it? About someone that among those that are born of women, there has not risen greater than John the Baptist. Amen. But if we'll read the above verses to this chapter, we'll find a great man in need of a revival. You see, it doesn't matter if you're the greatest in your church or the most spiritual in your church or just someone that sits in the pew and maybe never utters a word. Great men need revival. Well, this great man who the words of Jesus himself, he said, "Among women there's never been anyone like John the Baptist." But we see John the Baptist in need of revival. It was John the Baptist that was put in prison because he had spoke to Herod and told Herod, "It's not lawful to have your brother's wife." And because John Baptist did the right thing, he found himself in need of revival. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we try to do everything right, and we ought to do everything right. We ought to talk right. We ought to walk right. We ought to pray right, read right, dress right, look right, go to the right places. But sometimes when we do everything right, sometimes when we do everything that we know to do, Brother Lucas, sometimes things still go the wrong way, and we can find ourselves in need of revival. Well, that's where John Baptist found himself in prison, found himself in need of revival because he had done the right thing. Glory to God. Oh, John Baptist became so disheartened. He became so despondent. He became so troubled that he began to question his own doctrine. He was John Baptist that was the forerunner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. And John, it seemed like from a
from a young man. Well, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Seemed like John always knew what his purpose was in life. He was the forerunner of Christ. And he declared the way of the Lord. He declared to that sinful society to repent.
Right.
Amen. But we see John right here in a desperate situation. We see John questioning his own beliefs. It became so bad that we see John sending two of his disciples to Jesus Christ. John's in prison for doing the right thing. John's despondent. John's in the valley for doing the right thing. And he's in such a strait that he sends his disciples and said, "Now I want you to go ask Jesus. I want you to go ask him now. I really got to know now. I mean, I'm in a situation like I've never been in before. I really need to know, are you really the Messiah?" John needed revival. Glory to God, John needed revival. A great man, for doing the right thing, now is in need of revival.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus sent him word. He told those two disciples of John, said, Jesus answered unto them and said, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." Glory to God, that brought revival to old John. Reinforced and re-encouraged old John Baptist that he was preaching the right gospel, preaching the message for the hour. And just because you do the right thing and do everything you know to do doesn't mean everything's going to go your way all the time. But glory to God, let's go back to the Master. Glory to God. When things don't go your way, go back to the Master. Don't go out of church. Don't leave the church. Don't get mad at the pastor. Go back to Jesus. Oh, let Him send revival to your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that what we need tonight? Revival? Glory to God. We had good meeting all weekend, but I come down here on Monday night and I'm ready for revival. Hallelujah. The old psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And there was no giddy up in old John's step when he was in that prison and all despondent. There was no joy in old John's life. But when those words came back from Jesus, tell him those things that you see, tell him those things that you heard, says, "Go show John again those things which you do hear and see." Oh, hallelujah for revival. Lord of God. Praise God. We need revival. I don't care whether you're the best or whether you're some of the closest. We can all come to a place where we need revival. Amen. You may be the super duper double X spiritual Christian of the highway. But you're going to be in need of revival someday. Glory to God. In Matthew, in St. Luke's Gospel, we see someone that was very close to Jesus. His name was Cleophas. He was one of those that was walking down the road to Emmaus. He was blood relation to Mary and Jesus. No doubt he had heard the news that Mary was with child, and that this child was of the Holy Ghost. And no doubt he had been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. But we see this man walking down the road to Emmaus, despondent, because things didn't go exactly the way he thought they would. Amen. It was Cleophas that was so sure that Jesus was going to resurrect the third day. And he became despondent when Jesus was crucified. But we see We see him walking down the road of Emmaus with his head hung low in such a terrible, terrible strait. And he was so despondent. But right in the lowest ebb of Cleopas' experience, along came Jesus. The Bible says that their eyes were holy. They didn't even recognize it. They were in such a terrible pity party. They didn't even see Jesus when he was walking down the road with them. You ever been there? You ever been in a situation? You said, surely God's a million miles away from here. If he was close, it wouldn't be like this. Glory to God. But as they walked along that old road to Emmaus, lo and behold, someone walked right up with him and walked along with him. And the Bible says that he began to discuss the scriptures, and at beginning at Moses and all the prophets, this man expounded unto them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. And the Bible says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Praise God. Amen. But I like it where it went on, and when they began to discuss Jesus and their walk with Jesus, and the Bible says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know what those men encountered? These two men encountered in one of their valleys in a terrible time of tribulation and trouble, when they thought nobody knew, and they thought Jesus had reneged on his promises, and they were in such a strait. Well, he came right in their midst and began to encourage them personally. And it got to the place they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Yes. Well, that's revival, isn't it? Yes. That's revival, isn't it? Yes. I don't know who all was in the upper room at Pentecost, but the Bible says that these men went on to Jerusalem. And I don't really know, but I'd say these two were right in the middle of that revival that broke out in Jerusalem. I'd say these two were right in the middle of, right in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell, when the fire of God fell, and they came out of that upper room and there was a revival in that city. There's something contagious about revival. Hey, if we can get one or two of us old dry hides, get our heart all burning again, like the Bible says, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Man, we won't have any trouble telling somebody about Jesus. No. And if we get it just right, we can so convince them that they'll want just what we got. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I'm preaching our need for revival. Amen. We have a song or just pray? All right, let me read you this. The psalmist said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice? And let me condense this. In verse 4, the psalmist said, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause that anger towards us to cease. You see, it seems like the prescription for revival is we've got to want revival. And then when we recognize our need for revival, we've got to be willing to turn. In other words, if you've got something in your life, if you've got a barrier in your life, if you've got something in your life you need to get rid of, if you've got something around your neck or something on your finger or wearing something you shouldn't be wearing, get rid of it and have revival. It would be worth revival. What would you give up? What would you shuck off? What would you clean out if you knew, if you did that, you'd have revival come to your soul? Hey, that's quite a question, isn't it? I think I'll be like the psalmist and say, turn us, O God. If it takes changing, change me. Because I need revival. And our problem is this. Sometimes we think that we're backslidden, and we're not backslidden. We just need revival. But then if we don't get revival, we will be backslidden. Glory to God. Well, we got 5 minutes to pray. I've got more to preach, but we're going to pray.